On today's episode, what to do when your husband's face is gross, dealing with a stubborn parent, and LB tackles the issue that's dividing our country, pickles versus cucumbers. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red dots. Who do you? Church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talk to my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh, my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me.
I'm Lori Beth Denberg, and you are listening to the Bad Advice Podcast. With me, as always, is Clark.
Hello!
That's Clark Crozer, in case you think I switched Clarks.
That's me.
It's him. How you doing, Clark?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I am well. I am, you know this, but I'm going to share with the listeners. I am beginning my journey.
Yep.
Through Star Wars.
I'm so excited.
I've seen plenty of it, dear listeners. Don't worry. But I am going chronologically.
Yep.
So, and not just the movies. Clark has picked out, like, I need to watch the Clone Wars movie. I need to, not Attack of the Clones, but the Clone Wars animated movie.
That's right.
And the Clone Wars TV show.
Right.
And so I'm going chronologically. I'm putting in Solo and Rogue One where they belong.
That's right.
So far, I'm through the first two movies and the first half of the Clone Wars animated.
That's right.
And I was just reading over our text thread because basically I'm live tweeting the movies, but just to Clark.
Yeah. It's
I'm
great.
Live texting them.
It's fantastic. And I love it.
Part of it is me talking shit. And then part of me is like, wait, so the Chancellor is the good guy and Palpatine's the other guy? And then he'll explain stuff. And then when I get something right, he's like, exactly. It's like he's trying to teach me math and I finally got the concept.
I'm treating you the same way that I treat Lex when he's working on his, you know, numbers and letters right now.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Buddy, you spelled cat perfectly.
Good job,
good
buddy.
Good job.
But, and I don't know if we talked about this before, but... Oh, Logan, who was on the show last week.
Yeah.
You know, he has all his kids. And Clark warned him when the kids were little, show them 4, 5, and 6 first. But Logan started them
chronologically.
Chronologically. And so then they got stuck on, you know, Jar Jar Binks.
Yep.
Which I know there's Jar Jar Binks lovers out there.
Sure.
Talked to one on the show.
Yeah.
But I was not in love with Jar Jar Binks. In fact, I mean, and I was prepared. I'd seen this movie. I'd seen one in the theaters.
Right.
So I was aware, but God damn, dude.
Yeah.
And then when they went to Jar Jar City.
Yeah. The underwater city.
Yeah. I was just like, come on. I can't. And then I said to Clark in my live tweet to only him, please tell me we never have to go back to Jar Jar's city. And he said, yes, don't worry.
Yeah, because you don't. After Phantom Menace, you don't go back to the Jar Jar city.
But I took your text to mean we don't go back there at all. So then later...
You were mid-movie.
I was mid-movie. So later we go back to Jar Jar's, you know, city. What's it called?
I don't know. It's
the
on...
Gungan city.
Yeah, the Gungan city.
And let's call it Gunga.
Yeah.
And we're back there. And I text Clark angrily, you lied to me. You said we'd never go back. And he's like, well, after this movie.
Yeah.
Don't worry. And then Jar Jar, when I watched two, I watched it in pieces because it's 11 hours long.
Right.
And he's like, Jar Jar's not in it. But Jar Jar really came into his own.
I mean,
he's a senator.
I said that the Gungans aren't in it. The city isn't in it anymore.
Yeah.
Jar Jar occasionally pops back in and you see him and it's fine.
But he really seemed to just, you know, grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
He was all talking to the Senate.
I'm actually really excited because there is one storyline. I can't remember. I think it's second or third season of Clone Wars where they bring in Jar Jar. Where for some reason.
For target practice?
There's no. there's some alien lady from an alien world, and she's like, the only person I will speak to is Jar Jar Binks. So they have to bring Jar Jar Binks to this lady so that they can settle whatever the conflict is.
And he gets the message, and he's like, Jar Jar, this is your time to shine.
And then, you know, things happen and he bungles. But it's kind of interesting because, like I was telling you before, the Clone Wars show is really important if you're watching the Star Wars in its entirety.
Yes.
Because personally, my feeling is George Lucas did an amazing job at world building in the prequels. Like, he built this universe up so that there's history and facts and all, you know, really cemented in how this universe works.
Yes.
However, character wise, these movies are just steaming piles of shit. Just as far as there characters go, just as characters, books.
They are meant to be kind of comic booky. It's not Sophie's Choice.
But the first trilogy was also supposed to be just action and fun, and it also had really interesting characters that had depth and realism to them. Whereas these characters are very one dimensional. But
well, they're two dimensional because they're CGI.
Well, yeah. But what I was saying to Lori Beth before she started all of this is that what the Clone Wars, the cartoons, do so well is it adds so much depth to these characters. And even Jar Jar, even that Jar Jar episode, it's kind of fun because does he bumble everything? Of course. Does everything kind of, you know, he drops off. Oh, what's going on? Like, all of that stuff is there, but they add a level of kind of, he knows that he's a bumbling idiot. And he's like apologizing for it. And
Misa, take responsibility.
A little bit.
Okay, so I really enjoy it. So I also, to Clark, I'm like, no spoilers.
Yeah. I'm trying not to spoil anything.
So we will update you, dear listeners, because I know you care quite a lot.
Yeah.
As I make my way through
the galaxy.
Star Wars galaxy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. We have a lot of stuff to talk about with Star Wars, but we also have a lot of really fun questions here.
Oh,
so
great.
Before we get into the questions, though, I would like to play you something, a bit of an update.
Oh.
I'm very happy to say we have an update from one of our previous question askers.
Excellent.
And this is our good friend, Linnea. So let's say hi to Linnea.
Oh.
Hey, Lori Beth. It's Linnea from California. And the cow disappeared. It's weird. It's high desert, so there's a lot of trees. I don't know where it went. And I just am worried about it because it snowed up here. So if you have any advice about a snowed in cow, let me know.
That was it. That was Linnea.
Oh, Linnea, thank you so much.
An update on the cow issue.
Now, the disappearing cow in the snow can be only one thing.
Yeah.
Alien abduction.
Oh, I thought you were going to say ninja cow.
Oh, he could be a ninja cow.
Ninja cow works, too.
But yes.
Alien abduction makes more logistical
that
sense.
He was just beamed up. That is.
Or can I throw this out there?
All right.
Ghost cow.
Oh.
What if this is a ghost cow that's haunting Linnea?
Wow. Linnea, did a cow die in your house? Did the realtor explain that to you before you put down the deposit? All right. Well, the disappearing cow is better than finding a dead frozen cow in your backyard.
Yeah.
I think that we can all just get together and think positive thoughts that the cow's okay. This is kind of a clap for Tinkerbell situation.
Right. Yeah. Maybe if all the listeners really hope and believe.
Everybody, moo. Moo.
Isn't that Rent? Anyway.
That is wonderful. Okay, Linnea, if there's more, please call back with the third installment of Cow in My Life.
Right.
If you get back to us again.
Right.
And hopefully this is a years long, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to hear this keep going on for as long as the cow's living, at least.
Yeah, how long does a cow live? A long time. Well, theoretically, unless it's lost in the snow.
Yeah. Snow cows.
And then we cut them open and we say, and I thought they smelled bad on the outside. And that's how Linnea survives the rest of the summer.
That would work. I like it. Well, thank you so much, Linnea. I'm so happy to hear that update. And let's move on to some questions. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Question number one we've got from Andrew Mars. And Andrew's asking, I am the only sibling in a house of half siblings who left our small hometown. They forgot to include me in the planning of important gatherings until I'm an afterthought. I often can't reschedule work on short notice, so I miss things. They never ask how I am. Even during COVID, I am also the only artist in the family and the only queer person. I guess it's not so much how to deal with them, but how to move forward with my life, knowing that I probably only have myself. I have to ignore the feeling of being left out by my own family and get on with feeling good about myself. If you can make any of that funny, I will adore you more than I already do. And that's Andrew.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Thank you for writing in, for being honest, and for mentioning that you adore me.
Yeah.
I can always use that. I am a endless deep pit for affection and attention. That's not necessarily true. So I think you have the right attitude, which is you need to get over feeling left out and go on with your own life because... Yeah. Honestly, and I know this sucks, it seems unlikely that they forgot to include you.
Right.
You don't forget something like that. And yeah. I don't know if you said like they're your half siblings, so maybe they're all full siblings. And it just kind of sounds like that's might be a choice they're making.
Yeah.
Which sucks super hard.
Big time.
And I'm not, I mean, you're the only artist, you're the only queer person. I'm not necessarily hearing you say, oh, also they're, you know, bigots and, you know.
Right.
I don't know that that necessarily has anything to do with it, but I don't know. It just sounds kind of like a blatant, well, are we going to invite Andrew? No.
Right.
And that really sucks.
Yeah.
That really, really sucks. And... If that's their deal, I don't want to say if that's how they are, they're not your real friends. Right. They're not your real siblings. Hey, they're
Wait,
not.
They're not.
So that is a shitty position to be in.
Yeah.
And the most you can do is, like you say, well, no, the most you could do is talk to them about it.
Yeah.
And say, this really hurts my feelings. What's the deal?
Right.
You know, and if that pushes them to say, well, we hate you because X, Y, or Z,
right.
which I don't think they will. Right. In my head, there was some like first wife, second wife battle for the estate, like an old like Jane Austen novel.
Right, right.
Where like the first family is tossed aside into poorness, into you know, poverty, which in those situations means they have a lovely smaller house and only have four servants.
Exactly.
As opposed to the bigger house they had with 25 servants.
Yeah, exactly.
But
Andrew's actually from Dallas.
Yeah.
And his father's name is Remington Steele.
Yes. So you could talk to them about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would.
Yeah.
Even if it's just to let them know
why you're not going to be attending stuff or.
Well,
or...
no, even to let them know this sucks and my feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
And that could make a difference to them. They could say, oh, we were just doing this, but we didn't realize how much it was affecting you.
Right.
Or they'll just be like, look, this is for full-blooded, you know,
siblings only. Exactly.
And then you can be like, okay, well, you're an asshole. You're an asshole. You're an asshole. You're a dick. And you're an asshole.
Well, knowing how families work, and this is a house of half siblings, which means that there's a good number of them. Who does he talk to? Do you go to the half sibling or parent or half whatever step parent, whatever it is, that's the nicest to you, the one that you have the most connection with?
Yeah.
Or do you go with the one that's clearly in charge or running things that probably doesn't like you? Like, do you go for the easy ask or do you go for the hard ask and say, look, all of you are leaving me out?
Mm-hmm. Or do you call a house meeting like on Big Brother?
Right, exactly.
Which I don't know if that's a thing because I've never seen Big Brother.
I only watched the first season.
It could be a good idea, Clark, to go to the one that is the most accessible.
To you, the one that there's got to be one in this house. There's got to be one that at least pretends to be nice to you.
Yeah, like right? If you're going through the list and you're like, asshole, 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 jerk face.
Right.
Jerk face might be your best bet. Somebody that you have the most rapport with.
Yeah.
The weak link in the asshole chain.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's your first task.
Right.
Should you choose to accept yeah, it.
Exactly.
But other than that, I think you've got the right idea of, okay,
move forward.
I'm not waiting around to see if they magically get their shit together and realize that I'm a human being and do your art. And hopefully you have a community of some friends and they don't live in the house with you. Of course, it's COVID now. So right. It's like nobody lives anywhere seeing anybody.
Yeah.
But
he's not really saying that he's lonely. He's kind of just saying that he's sad that he can't be, that his family doesn't want to include him.
He's not including him. Yeah.
If that's really his only problem.
Yeah. Talk to the one you feel most comfortable with and you'll get your answer and you can go on from there, whether that changes the situation with them and they are more open to you, or whether you get your answer and you're like, okay, I'm not going to expect anything from now on because this is what it is.
Exactly. That's very true. And it's very sad, but what you're going to do. Hopefully that helps, Andrew. Please let us know how it works. And if you do end up asking or talking to somebody and get a response, we'd love to hear it. So let us know. Let's move on to our second question of the day. Mm-hmm. This is from CRC0377. All right. And CRC asks, as I'm sure you know, with an aging parent, you know how stubborn they can be, especially when you know they need help. So what is your best, worst advice for getting a stubborn, aging parent the help they need when they are in denial?
Oh, I wish I didn't relate to this question so much. Thank you. I feel your pain and I appreciate your question. I go through this with my dad.
Yeah.
My dad is a fall risk.
Mm.
He has a lot of health reasons that make him health reasons. He has a lot of health issues that cause him to be wobbly and, pain issues and all this kind of stuff. So it has only been recently, like I used to beg him, but he has a cane in like three rooms, a couple different canes. Mm. It is only in the last couple months, really, that he uses the cane to get from place to place.
Right.
He was like, no, I can hold on to the wall and I need to walk. And he'd get up and stumble. And I'd just pick up the cane in the room and I'd go, shake it at him and go, you are the worst person in the world.
Oh.
Use this cane. And, eventually things got bad enough and his pain got bad enough that he's been using it.
Yeah.
I don't know if me, berating him for his stubborn pride helped to aid that situation. But also it's like, there's such a vanity to it that older people, I'm not going to use a walker. I'm not one of those people.
Right.
And everyone has their ideal picture of themselves in their head. And it's not walking around with a hunched back and a walker and saying, I'm not like that lady.
Right.
I'm not like that lady whose spine is in the shape of a C, and it is just so difficult. I'll tell you something that's actually changed in the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months. Hmm. I am, and Clark knows this, I am very friendly and gregarious, and I tend not to call people by their names.
Right.
I call people Button and Bunny and Potato and Kitten and all kinds of stuff like that. And Babe. I call people, hey, Babe.
Sure.
And I realized I do that for everyone else. And I wasn't doing that for my dad. I was being like, dad, and we were having these conversations. Huh. And it's still my dad. So I'm like, I don't want to do what you say, you know, like.
Right.
And then I just realized, why am I not treating him like, why am I not treating him like I treat other people?
Right.
To make them smile.
Yeah.
So I started calling him like Bug and Babe, and it really changed the dynamic.
Mm.
Like, even on the way here, I was coming to Clark's house and my dad didn't know I had left the house, and he called me because he wants to go to the supermarket to get apples that are on sale. Oh. He eats apples a lot.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I'm going to be out a while. I'm like, hey, can we go tomorrow, babe? You know, I have this time, blah, blah, blah. We can go do this and this. And he was like, yeah, okay, okay. And it's given our interaction, I won't say our relationship, but our relationship too, a really different feel.
Mm.
And it's so strange that I never thought that, like, why not treat my dad the way I treat other people?
Sure.
I mean, part of it is because he gives me shit and stuff.
Right.
But he doesn't as much when I'm being more friendly. Mm. That's how I was in the detox, when I worked in the detox.
Right, right.
We would have to, you know, people come in, they're sick, they're detoxing, they're unhappy.
Yeah.
They're a lot of things. And a lot of times they're sleeping and we'd have to wake them up because it's bedtime.
Mm.
And so I would always, you know, go like, hey, little bunny, it's time for meds. Wake up, wake up, wake up. And it's like, because you have to really go a long way to be like, fuck you.
Right.
To someone who's like, little bunny.
Right.
So that's just kind of the way I operate. Hmm. And operating that way with my dad has made a big difference.
Hmm.
And has made a big difference where it's like, okay, babe, you gotta use your cane. You know, you gotta do this, please. And
yeah.
Part of it is I go, if you fall down and break your hip, that's my life too.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
My life is taking care of you.
Absolutely.
Not that I wouldn't do it, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And happily and enthusiastically. But then I know that is hugely taxing and exhausting to be a caretaker, because I've done it before for him and
right.
for other people. So maybe just whatever relationship you have with your parent, see if you can lighten it up a little bit in general.
Mm.
And then it's more like a friend saying, why don't you use your cane, you idiot? But yeah, the stubbornness and the, you know, my dad loves dogs.
Mm.
He hasn't had a dog in a while. It might be almost 10 years ago that we went to put his last dog down.
Aww.
But we have, and you've been in my house, Clark.
Yeah,
we have lots of space and a couple of yards and a big dog door.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, Dad, we need to get a dog. When are we getting a dog? Because not only is it good for an old person, but it's good for me.
Yeah,
I love
absolutely.
Dogs. I need to have something to hug in COVID times.
Absolutely.
And it's not going to be my dad. and his immediate reaction always is like, no, I don't think so. You know, and I'm like, he loves dogs. I'm going to just go one day and get a couple dogs from the shelter
right.
and bring them home and say, okay, if you don't want this, take them back to the shelter.
Right.
And they'll be dead in a week.
It's so weird. I there must be some psychological study or something about older people with dogs, because my grandmother is the same thing. She had dogs her whole life. She, when my mom was growing up, they had like 7 dogs in their big house. And then
at one time. Oh dear.
And then she divorced my grandfather and then kept having dogs, got more dogs. When I was a little kid, I was growing up and I would always come over and see Tiffany, her little, you know, little white Shih Tzu dog. She had dogs her whole life, it seems. And then she hit a point where it's like she buried her final dog and that was it. Like, I'm never having another. The pain of losing a dog must be so incredibly hard on the heart that you can only do it a certain amount of times.
Yeah, and that's definitely part of my dad's thing. I know that. And then part of it is also like, well, I can't walk around. I can't, you know, take the dog for a while. I'm going to get knocked over by the dog. All that kind of stuff. But it's like, I'm here, Dad.
Yeah, you could be helping with that part.
Yeah, it'll be my dog.
Right.
It's like we went. We went, my dad never gets anything for himself. And there's a victim martyr thing to it. Yeah. But also he's like, I don't need anything. And out of the blue, God, more than a year ago, he goes, I'm looking at getting myself this car. And it's a really nice, like, SUV. It's, you know, he has a bad back and a bad knee, and he was driving a Prius, which is really low.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, hoist yourself down yourself up. And this is an SUV. He can basically
slide his butt in, slide his butt out.
Yeah. And it was so out of the blue for him to want to do something. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Let's go do this.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you know, well, we were on our way to get it, you know, to go look at it, I should say. We weren't like, hello, car salesman, here's all our money. Right. Give us a car. Is this enough? but he started to say, you know, I don't know. I'm using your inheritance. And I go, Dad, I'll still get the car when you die.
It's true.
Don't worry about it. Don't you worry your pretty old little head. So to answer your question about a stubborn parent, you know, here's another thing.
Yeah.
It's really easy to forget that this is a person who has lived a whole life and gone through a lot of stuff and has their opinion and has good experience.
Right.
And has dealt with a lot of things before. And I think what happens to plenty of people is they see their parent getting old or infirmed, and then it turns into this like talking to a toddler kind of condescending thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, don't you think you should eat breakfast? Won't you feel better? And that's something to consider too. Basically, how you approach them as a person.
Right.
Regardless of what you're after, if it's just saying hi, if it's, can I borrow some money? If it's, please use your cane, please use your walker,
right?
Whatever it is, the key,
the trick is little treats.
Yes, I know. That clicker.
The clicker. That'll
every
get
time
him.
He uses his cane. the goal is for me to approach my dad as a person.
Yeah.
And as a friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, go from there. And that dynamic makes my opinion more of this is for you rather than just nagging.
Yes. It is so hard to readjust your views on people when you've known them. The longer you've known them, the harder it is. And it's so true. At a certain point, you kind of have to stop looking at your parents as if they're your parents and just look at them as other adults who are also living a crazy, horrible life, just like we all are.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with their shit the way they know how, the best way they know how. So look, is your father stubborn? Maybe. But he's a person and he's scared and he's upset and he doesn't know how to handle this. So you got to treat it like you're saying, exactly like you're saying, treat him like he's a person, not just your dad, not just the, you know, oh, it's, you know, mom, but you got to treat him as if they're a real human that isn't related to you that you should probably take care of because you're a good person.
Yeah. And find the compassion.
Yeah.
To really look at it from that point of view.
Yeah.
Because it would be really easy for me to go, use your goddamn cane or my life's going to be trying to get you in the goddamn hospital.
Right.
And I'm not allowed in the hospital right now. Right. And, you know, all of this shit.
Yeah.
But that's not the way to get anything done.
That's a daughter that's frustrated with her dad.
And that's a daughter that's looking out for my role in things.
Right.
And not having the compassion to see it from his point of view.
So true. So true.
I hope this helps.
Yeah, I think it does. That should really help a lot of people, I think.
This is Jess Betancourt, the host of DNA ID, the only true crime podcast that exclusively covers cases solved using forensic genealogy. DNA ID goes behind the headlines to answer your questions about this remarkable new crime-solving tool, how it works, how cases are selected, why the cases were unsolved for so long, and how the justice system is addressing it. I include input from law enforcement to give you the inside scoop that we all crave, with a straightforward, no-nonsense delivery. You can find DNA ID on any podcast platform. Episodes come out weekly on Mondays.
Let's move on to question number three, though. That question number three is from Lucy. Lucy sent us an email and she said, "My husband of 5 years shaved off his goatee without asking me for input. I try to be, quote, your body, your choice. I mean, the man's hair is a Tweety Bird slash Friar Tuck combo, and I still find him attractive and married him. But truly, this mustache only look is horrible. I don't think I would have dated him in this state. He looks like he should be on a poster and not on a good way. When I have changed my hair color and got new boobs, cancer, not vanity, I did ask for his input, and he said whatever made me happy. Am I a terrible person or a saint?"
Oh, my goodness.
This is Lucy.
Lucy, thank you. I love the name Lucy.
Right?
It's always stuck in my head.
It's so Charlie Brownish.
Right? Although she was a bitch. I guess I kind of think more like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, you know, it is his face. It is, you know, his body, his choice.
Sure.
But I cannot think of anyone that I have met in my life who's mustache only isn't completely porny and gross.
What about Tom Selleck?
He's gross. I will say this. Now, I know this was a different time in the 80s, and that's okay. But I mentioned weeks ago that I watched Frankie and Grace on Netflix.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite lines was because Sam Elliott comes into the storyline. And, you know, someone's asking someone else, like, "Well, what do you think? Is he whatever?" And the guy says, looking at Sam Elliott's picture, "Well, there's only 10 guys in the world who could pull off that mustache, and he's 9 of them." So there are exceptions to the rule.
Sure.
I am not picturing your husband as an exception.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he likes. I am a fan of when people have facial hair and they want to take it off, doing it in stages.
Sure.
So that could just be fun, you know, but like when it's the full beard and then you go to the, you know, mutton chops.
Right.
And then you go to the, what's the one that sounds like a devil? Oh, goodness.
You mean the curly Q mustache?
No, that's a...
Or the pointy goatee.
Yes.
The pointy goatee,
that's called something devilish.
Yeah.
Or you go, and then, you know, if you're awesome slash terrible, you get all the way down to the Hitler mustache.
Right.
And then you shave it clean off.
Yeah.
But, and there's been plenty of, you know, on Zoom and stuff, I see my friends with their COVID beards.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Who's shaving it right now?
Exactly.
Nobody shaves.
Certainly not me. It's a mess down there. Get your machete and let's try to find the Holy Grail. So, it's his choice. It sounds gross.
Yeah.
It sounds gross.
Well, here, can I say something? I have a wife, right? And a few years ago, Lori Beth and I were working at a advertising agency that I was working at. And we got, we did a commercial for this one video game. I can't remember what it was called. It was very cartoony. Mm-hmm. And there were like 3 or 4 different commercials. So it was like a series of spots.
Yes.
And they ended up hiring me. So I was in each of these spots as like this mysterious person that would hit a switch and then everything would be cartoony. Right. And for some reason I think I might have had a full beard, and I asked the director, like, "What do you want? Do you want the full beard? Do you want me to go down to a goatee? What do you want? I could shave everything."
Van Dyke. That's the thing that I couldn't think
of. How is that devilish?
I don't know.
Did you not like Dick Van Dyke?
I love Dick Van Dyke.
Did Jerry Van Dyke touch you when you were young?
I wish. Go ahead.
Anyway, so he said, how about just the mustache? So I shaved everything and just kept the mustache, and I have a mustache for this whole series. And I remember so vividly my wife being like, "Oh, I'm so happy for you. This is so great that you get to be in these spots. How fun." And then immediately shave it off when you're done with these. because she hated it. She thought I looked gross and a little pedo-y and it looks kind of horrible. So look, I thought it was kind of fun and I liked having just a mustache for a while, but I cared about my wife's feelings enough to go, well, she has to look at my face a lot more than I do. So I'm going to do what's better for her since she's stuck looking at this ugly mug all the time. So there's got to be a little bit of responsibility on the husband's part here, Lucy.
Yes. I mean, be honest, most mustaches look like you should also, you know, be court ordered to live 1,000 feet from a school.
Exactly.
There's not a lot of great mustaches in the world. I'm sure there are. I hope we're not starting a big controversy.
Parks and Rec. What about the guy on Parks and Rec?
Oh, yes. Oh, Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman. Absolutely. Can just be the king of mustaches.
Yes, there are exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
I don't think your husband is one of them.
Exactly.
But, you know, are you a, what does she say? Am I a something or a saint?
A terrible person or a saint?
Maybe both. I mean, letting him be himself is one thing.
Right.
Telling him I don't like it doesn't make you a terrible person.
Not at all.
Knocking him out with GHB and shaving it while he's asleep makes you awesome to me, but to a court of law might make you a terrible person.
Yeah. I agree. All right. Well, thank you so much, Lucy. I hope that helped. And I hope we can hear back from you and know more about your husband's mustache adventures. But I'd like to now move on to our rotating segment of the week, The Worst Person to Ask.
How the hell would she know LB's the worst person to ask?
All right. Well, The Worst Person to Ask is a new segment that we haven't tried yet. This is a first. We get a lot of really great phone calls from you guys. I love all the phone calls that you've been sending us. LB, you've been loving all these questions. It's been so great. But every few phone calls or every few emails, we get this question that is just ridiculous and doesn't make any sense, and there's no way we would ever use it, and why would we put it on the show? And I thought that would be a really fun excuse to put them all into a compilation and we can do a little rapid fire. LB is the worst person to ask these questions. So let's move on. Are you ready?
I am ready to not know anything.
For the gauntlet? Here we go. All right. Number one, we're going to kind of do a rapid fire this time. So, number one, how do you buy a house? That shit seems so confusing.
Of course it is. Well, first, you have to have plenty of money and good credit, I think.
Yeah.
You have to find a realtor, which I am not a licensed realtor.
No.
Or you could just sneak into someone else's house and squat until you have squatter's rights and then just annoy them till they leave.
That's it. That's the answer. How do you buy a house? Don't. Yeah. Just squat in it. All right. That was a good answer. Let's move on to question number two.
Hey, Lori Beth. This is Dylan from Nashville. And I just want to know, why do some people like their cucumbers better pickled?
Dylan, thank you for opening up. That is very interesting. I happen to like cucumbers and pickled cucumbers, or pickles, as some people know them.
Right.
I would say I eat pickles more than I eat just cucumbers.
Yeah.
They are delicious. They are salty. They are tangy. They are vinegary. They go well with so many things. And cucumbers are, you know, pathetically healthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a way to go if you want to feel good about yourself. But I don't think most people do.
Yeah. Fuck cucumbers.
Yeah. So I say most people like pickles. You just take them out of the jar, too.
Sure. Yeah. You don't
have to, you know, you don't have to take the skin off cucumbers, but a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, you know, much love to both people on both sides of this incendiary issue.
All right. Question number three. How do I keep my live Christmas tree fresh from Thanksgiving to New Year?
Well, it's February, so I'm a little late on this question. And I was raised Jewish, so I never had a Christmas tree. So I'll say, water it.
All right. Question number four.
Hey, bestie. This is Zachary from Virginia. I just wanted to ask, how do you make chicken nuggets? Because, like, what are they made from? How do you make them after that? That's all I want to know. Okay, babe. Bye.
Thanks, babe. I love you. Hey, bestie. Okay, well, I am neither a cook nor a scientist.
Right.
I think we all saw that video years and years ago that there was some pink, you know,
slime
insulation something that went into them.
Yep.
I think British chef Jamie Oliver has done an expose on this.
I agree.
I don't know, honey. It depends. If you're a reputable chicken manufacturer, you use chicken.
Right. Real.
If you're McDonald's, you use whatever's in there and it's delicious. So I don't know. Look up Jamie Oliver. I think he's really, really, you know, plumbed the depths of this.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you really want to look too much into what's in chicken nuggets.
So otherwise we might not be eating any more chicken nuggets anymore.
Exactly.
Question number five. How can I get paid more and do less?
How the fuck would I know? I always work really hard or I have no money.
Yeah. And you have no money. You always work hard and you have no money.
I'm doing this all wrong. Yeah. I mean, you could, if you want to work harder and get paid less, do a podcast.
Yeah. Hey, look at there.
That's my current experience. Suggestion.
All right. And the last one for the worst person to ask.
Hi, Lori. I'm too awesome. What should I do?
I really feel your pain. First of all, I would stop saying that and then maybe you'll make a friend. It's hard to be too awesome. It's hard to be too awesome.
Yep.
What I might say is keep it to yourself. Let people find out how awesome you are.
Right.
I don't think it should be on your business card.
Right.
You know,
it's like when you have to tell somebody that they need to thank you. Like at that point, you know,
it's not really worth it anyway. I sent you this gift and I never heard back. Too awesome is a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Or a fictional problem. And you're not awesome at all. So I don't know. Not having that information, I cannot give you informed advice.
And that is exactly why Lori Beth is the worst person to ask. All right. Well, that was kind of fun. I kind of like that. Let's move on to our final question of the podcast.
Okay.
This is from Jen with Relish. That's her, I believe, Instagram name. And Jen with Relish says, hey, Clark and LB. How do I help my daughter maintain a positive relationship with her other mom? She and I are almost divorced and have been separated for 5 years. So this isn't a new situation to any of us. I am the full-time mom, but I've allowed her other mom to become the theme park parent. She doesn't contribute financially, which is fine. We live comfortably on my salary and is only available when she wants to be. I realized early on that I can't control how she parents or her involvement level. So I just make sure our 10-year-old daughter has everything she needs with me, stable home, sleepovers, regular routine, etc. It's just so frustrating to watch our daughter miss her. It's getting to the point now where I'm having a hard time being honest with the kid about sounding like I'm trash talking the other parent. Oh, without sounding like I'm trash talking the other parent. How do I prepare my daughter for the inevitable ups and downs without sounding like a bitter asshole? I want my daughter to look back on her life and see the other's actions for what they are, not just remember how I reacted to them and feel like I poisoned her against them. Thanks. Love the podcast.
Wow. Thank you for that question.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
Wow.
The most important thing to me in all of that is how aware you are,
man,
of not wanting to be the ex-wife that trashes the other parent.
Yeah.
Because that is really pretty bad. And this made me think of a question we answered a couple months ago where a mom was really upset because her in-laws didn't come to her daughter's bat mitzvah.
Right.
And It's a little bit of the same situation. I mean, certainly not when this is your kid's actual mother.
Yeah.
And it is. I can imagine the heartbreak of sitting there and watching your kid be disappointed,
yes.
You know, oh. in the cartoony way where it's like, I'm all dressed for the beach and I can't remember. I can't wait till mom comes to pick me up.
Right.
And then it's like, honey, I'm sorry. Your mom just called. She's not coming. And unfortunately, you are in a tricky situation because you want to be honest. You want her to take things at face value, but that's hard when you're little.
Yeah.
And your hopes and your hopes are up and you love your mom and you want, you know, to spend time with you. You want to feel important,
right.
You know, and to be disappointed like that, if you say your ex, you know, only sees her on her timetable, there's not much you can do for that. I mean, you could explain to your ex, this is really hurting our kid.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you could put it that way. But I'm assuming that she's your ex for a reason.
Right.
So I don't know how well or fruitful that conversation would be.
Right.
Or go. So the most you can do, I mean, talk to your ex. But as far as you shouldn't have to make up and tap dance.
Yeah.
To make it seem like your ex isn't behaving badly.
Right.
You know, there's the two ends of the spectrum. You know, I'm trash talking ass. She doesn't care because she's just doing her own thing. You're not saying that to the kid.
Right.
But you're also not saying, well, she's really busy and making excuses to try to lessen the blow that your kid might be feeling.
Yep.
So you're really stuck in a shitty situation where you get to see disappointment and heartache in your kid. And where do you go with that?
Right.
So get your ex on the phone. I want to talk to her.
Yeah, seriously.
But it's, you know, like I remember, this obviously really stuck in my head because what we told the mom who was upset about her in-laws, like, not showing up for her daughter, it's like you have to take people at face value, which I think you basically mentioned in your question.
Right.
And this is all your mom can do right now. And we don't know all the reasons.
Right.
But you could also, and I think you said your kid was 10.
10 years old.
Because another thing to do, and I'm not, it's another thing to do that I'm not really suggesting, is have your kid, is it a daughter?
Daughter, yeah, 10-year-old daughter.
Have your daughter talk to her mom.
Yeah.
That's really hard. 10 years old is young to do that. Basically, 10 years old could be really difficult for someone to even have the faculty and the language to explain.
Right.
And then you could run into a like, oh, well, you told our daughter to, you know, guilt me. And that was great when you had her call and say how much I hurt her feeling, you know.
Right.
Like I said, I don't know the full dynamic. She's your ex for a reason.
Yeah.
And you're her ex for a reason. So, yeah. but.
Well, what about this? Maybe it would be prudent to think about in 20 years, what is this daughter going to look back on?
Hmm.
What is this daughter going to look back on her childhood growing up? Clearly, she comes from a split home, right? Which is inevitable at this point. They've been separated for 5 years. However, is she going to look back and say, oh, mom was, you know, constantly belittling my other mom, or was she, you know, always angry at her? Or is she going to look back and go, you know, look, my one mom never was there for me, but every time she abandoned me to do something else, my other mom was there to keep me happy and keep me busy and change the subject and be there for me. Maybe that's all you need. You'd like Lori Beth saying, you tell her the truth, You don't be angry about it. Don't badmouth the other mom. Just say, hey, you know, I can't control when what she does. And she just flaked out on you again. I'm so sorry. But hey, maybe we can do something fun. Let's go play a game. Let's go do this. Let's get out and get some McDonald's for dinner. So whatever it is that can kind of change the subject, maybe that's what you do. Maybe you kind of just be there to be her little, you know, safety net for every time she gets dropped by the other mom. Mm. And you kind of try to change the subject and keep her mind occupied on other things.
Yeah, but and find a way, like I said, to be honest about it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
In a neutral kind of way.
Exactly. You can't be angry.
Yeah. That is just a really tough situation. It sounds like you're a great mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to say, obviously, we're not saying, oh, your ex must not love your daughter.
No,
you know,
no.
That's most probably not true, but you are in a really tough situation. And then, of course, you're also the mom that's saying, you got to do your homework.
Right.
You know, she's the theme park mom. You're the nuts and bolts mom.
Right.
Which it's easy for your kid to be like, you're no fun.
Right.
And then that's, you know, doubly frustrating because it's like, don't you know what I do for you?
Yes, exactly.
I do everything for you. So you are in a tough spot.
Yeah,
and I'm really sorry about that.
But I do believe that you're right, that being honest, but without being judgmental, is probably the best bet here. Talk to her. And you know what? Maybe at 10 years old, the daughter is not old enough to stand up and ask the other mom what the deal is. But in a year or two, maybe she will be.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll grow to that point if you help her and you're there for her and you're constantly being there to just say, like, I'm here for you, even when she's not.
Hey, if they're Jewish in a couple of years, it'll be her bat mitzvah.
Yeah, there you go.
And we can see if it's the exact same situation as the grandparents. Ay,
well,
Dios mío.
Thank you so much for your email, or no, your Instagram, Jen. That was really good. I hope we helped.
Thank you.
But that was the last question of the podcast.
Okay.
So we are done. That was it.
All right.
That was pretty good. I liked it.
Well, then I better get back to watching the second half of
Clone Wars,
the movie.
Yeah, you got to get to know Ahsoka while you still can.
I can.
Hey, thank you guys out there for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have a question for Lori Beth, please send it to us at AskLoriBeth.com. You can hit us up on all the socials at AskLoriBeth, or you can just leave us a message with your name and where you're from at 1-855-DENBERG, 1-855-DENBERG, 1-855-336-2374.
And you can find me on Instagram at LBDenberg and on Twitter at LoriBethDenberg. And you can book me for a personal video with my clothes on at cameo.com/LoriBeth.
Woo! All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast. The more people that know about our show, the better. Tell your friends.
Tell them all.
This is Lori Beth and Clark saying good night.
Good night.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.